He is risen. Oh, that's so true. Good morning. It is it's a privilege to see all of you here. Feels like family reunion time. I see some faces, some of my favorite people that I haven't seen for a while, and it's nice to see. Well, you're all my favorite people. Hi, Brent. It's nice to see you. Guys, it's Easter, and this is a holiday that I'm certain has some memories, childhood memories from a ways back. I'd like to give a chance to share a few memories. Jonathan, do you have cordless mics that are available? Okay, so be thinking just a minute about things that make Easter special. I'll be spending some time talking about the meaning behind Easter, but you might have some memories of your own childhood, so I'll let you think a minute. I have a few other things I need to cover this morning. I wanted to read this one. This is a couple of weeks old, and I apologize, but it's a thank you note that it deserves to be shared here with the church, so I'll share it this morning, if that's all right, before we get into the message. Hello. Many thank again for all the organizers and the volunteers that put together the widow's banquet last Saturday. So this is a little while back, but Lee and Irma, this one matters. What a blessing to me, and what a great fellowship. The speaker, the beautiful appetizer table that was so beautifully arranged. The dinner was so delicious. Yes, I did have seconds. Also, the gentleman who served our table, he was so helpful in many ways. Even though it was a cold, wintry day outside, the warmth from everyone was great. God bless, and if the Lord willing, I will have a chance to attend in 2024. In Christ, Beverly. So there's your marching orders, I guess, for next year. There's expectation that this will happen again. But thank you all for the effort that goes into making that widow's banquet happen. I know there's a lot of hands that make that one work. I'm grateful this morning for, I saw some hands working already out there at the grill. The smoky links are good. Testify. But there's a lot of work that goes into making a church happen. And I'm grateful for what that is. One of my Easter memories came from this morning. I was given a gift from one of my nieces. The tomb is empty. It's special. We celebrate it from being a little higher so you can see it. It's empty. And it's beautiful. What are your memories? Do I have anybody that has memories of childhood Easter celebrations, or even more recently? Do I have anybody that would share something that went on for them? What makes this holiday special? Yeah. Come on.
Just this morning I was telling Dalton County Church how I remember we used to go Easter caroling back home. And I remember chickens out running around, farmers were doing chores, the sun was coming up, and it was just a happy time. And then we would get somewhere. I remember one time we had it at my folks' base, but we had breakfast then. And so anyway, that was a fun memory.
That's good. Anybody else? I remember when we started attending Calvary Chapel. It was still the Indiana-Michigan time difference, and so y'all had sunrise service up here, and it was the very early side of the morning for us Indiana kids, and we'd show up here all bleary-eyed, and we'd sit in church for a bit, and then we'd march off to Thurston Woods and sing, and we came back, and in the church basement, there was the most amazing breakfast waiting for us, and it made some pretty good memories for Chad and Craig. Anybody else have a memory or a story to tell about Easter? It's all right if we don't. I know that it's a time we celebrate what God has done, but it's also a time that we celebrate with family. And I want to make sure we had room shared if there was. All right. What if Easter didn't exist? What if it didn't? Oh, hey, in your bulletin, I said one more note. The special music probably won't happen in the sunrise service. That'll happen in the regular service at 10. So, a mistake. How many of you have heard of the name Houdini? Harry Houdini? Harry Handcuff Houdini, yeah. It usually has to do with escaping something, right? Harry Houdini he's actually Jewish origin. He was born in Hungary. His grave is not that far from the church we attended in Brooklyn. It's in the Cypress Hills area. It's actually in Glendale, Queens, but it's just across the Jackie Robinson from where we used to go to church. Harry Houdini died in October of 1926. His claim to fame was that he was a magician, specialized in spectacular escapes. As a matter of fact, he was said to have laughed at locks, sneered at fetters. They said of Harry that he had the flexibility of an eel and the lives of a cat. He did all kinds of things. They did all kinds of things to try to incarcerate him. They would seal him in coffins, and he'd escape. They riveted him into a boiler. He escaped. They sewed him up in canvas bags. He escaped. They locked him in a milk can. They sealed him in a beer barrel. He escaped. They sealed him into a maximum security prison, and he got out. But in October of 1926, death put his hands on Harry Houdini. They put him in the grave, and Harry Houdini has yet to escape. He told his wife, "If there's any way out, I will find it. And if there is any way out, I'll make contact with you, and we'll do that on the anniversary of my death." For 10 years, she kept a candle burning near his portrait. At the end of 10 years, she put the light out. Death had Harry Houdini, and he could not escape. You know, death laid its hands on Jesus as well. Jesus was put into a tomb. There was a stone put over the mouth of that tomb. It was sealed by the Romans and guarded by the Romans. It was about as secure as they could make it, but he rose from the sleep of death. Death does not hold my Jesus. I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians 15 today, and I'll be up front. I'm borrowing a lot from the work of Jim Perdue on the message this morning. So it's not all original. You want to take a look at 1 Corinthians 15. I'll start at verse 12. Jesus is alive. He's not behind us in a tomb. He's before us in a throne. Suppose it didn't happen. Suppose that death still held Jesus. Does it matter? What if Easter didn't exist? Like, does it matter? It does. So we'll start at verse 12. It's kind of a negative stretch. We'll read verse 12 through 22 this morning. Now, if Christ is preached that he is raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and our faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have the hope of Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. Verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man death came, and by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. I think that for much of my life, I've thought the sacrifice on Friday, the death on the cross, that's the substitutionary death and payment for my sin. That's the piece that really matters. And Easter Sunday morning, well, it's a nice piece of it, but the price was paid on Friday, and I've spent time trying to sort out what does it mean, and it means a lot. If Easter didn't exist, what if it didn't exist? It's kind of a loaded question. It's kind of like, what if you were never born? It's heavy, it's strong, and you have to consider it carefully. The truth is, your entire faith, my entire faith, hinges on the event of Christ rising from the dead. In verse 14 here, it says, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and our faith is empty. It's without effect. It's powerless. If Easter didn't exist, then our message has no meaning. If you would, without the resurrection, there is nothing. God loved you so much that He sent Jesus to die for you. He took your place. But if our message doesn't include the resurrection, it would be something like saying, He was buried in a borrowed tomb, and He rose again. I'm sorry. Without It's an early morning, y'all. If Easter doesn't exist, and without that power, you would have the potential of sharing the gospel without the finishing piece. You would say to someone in sin, I'd like to tell you about the substitutionary death on the cross. But without the good news of the resurrection, the good news and the bad news, you would have just bad news. You would tell somebody about their sin and explain to them how their sin has separated them from God, and it's prepared them for an eternity in hell. A place full of fire and brimstone, a place where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. And you can kind of imagine sharing that truth with someone and maybe them coming under conviction and begging you for a way out. Tell them what they could do to escape the coming wrath of God. And if Christ was not resurrected, the best you could say was, well, good luck with that. Because the message without the resurrection is powerless. But our message is not powerless, because Easter does exist. Christ is risen. Paul says in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Our message is not powerless. I've seen the power of the cross change lives. I've seen hateful people fall in love with Jesus. You've sent us to the other side of the world, and you've walked with us working on this side of the world. I've seen God's power at work in China, in Thailand, and in Middlebury. I know I've shared stories here at church of people's hearts changing and of bodies being healed. God is at work, and there's power in Jesus. Have you been changed by the risen Christ? Paul keeps going. He says our faith would be useless. If Easter didn't exist, if Christ was not risen, then our faith is vain. Like in verse 14, it says it twice. Our faith would be empty, our preaching is empty. What good is faith in Christ if he's not risen from the dead? If it never really happened, then what we're doing is useless. If Christ is not risen, it's a myth. There's no need to follow him with your life. You can live any way you want. You can act any way you want. You can do anything you want. And it really doesn't matter. Because if Easter doesn't exist, then our faith wouldn't matter. But it does. We are looking for truth. We are looking for reliability. In every one of us, there's a desire to find something or someone that we can trust. I think it's part of why, when trust is lost and when trust is broken, it's more devastating in a relationship than almost any other crime that happens within a relationship. When we're looking to buy a product, well, maybe a car, we tend to want something that we can count on for years to come. If you're a dad and you're shopping for a vehicle for your family, you want something that'll safely get your people, your children, your family down the road for a few years to come. You're buying a new vehicle. It usually comes with a warranty. And, it used to be, a year or 10,000 miles was something special. And now it's more like 5 years or 50,000 miles or 100,000 miles. Or we want something that has a 300,000 mile warranty on the powertrain. We want something that we can trust. It's something that the dealers and the automakers build into their sales to help us believe in their vehicle. But our relationships with people are the same way. We're looking for someone we can trust. If you're looking for a spouse, you want a husband or a wife that you can look to that is trustworthy. Someone that we know is going to be faithful over the course of a lifetime. But even in the best of relationships, people let us down. They fail us. I think that at the heart of every human, our deepest desire is to be able to completely trust someone. Someone that won't lie to you. Someone who won't let you down. And if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then we can't trust him with our lives, and we certainly can't trust him with our eternity. But fortunately for us, Jesus did rise from the dead. Easter does exist. It's real. It's not fake. It's true. It's not a lie. And we can trust him with our lives. If you go over to Galatians 2:20, you don't have to turn there, but Paul says, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. As it's because Christ is risen that you can trust him. You can trust Him with your life, your friendships, your money, your future. If Easter didn't exist, our salvation would be pointless. Verses 17, 18, this is, if Christ isn't risen, faith is futile, and you're still in your sins. If Easter did not exist, our salvation would be pointless. There'd be no such thing as salvation. Salvation promises the forgiveness of sins. The Bible says that if Christ is not risen, we're still in our sins. Salvation promises a future, a resurrection one day, a home forever in heaven. A major part of salvation is the forgiveness of sins and the promise of salvation. If Jesus had died and stayed dead, we'd have no proof that He was the pure and substitutionary price paid for our sin. It proves that He said what He said was what He did. What He said was going to happen, what God promised in the years before did come true. The resurrection is important. Well, Romans 4:25 says He was handed over on account of our transgressions, but He was raised on account of our justification. The reason that God raised Jesus from the dead is kind of twofold. It was to vindicate that Jesus was truly innocent, and it was to validate our forgiveness as a demonstration that God received Christ's sacrifice for our sin. So both to vindicate and show us that Jesus really was innocent, and to validate that this is what God had in the process. You serve a risen Lord. Your salvation is not pointless. Without the resurrection, without Easter, what if Easter didn't exist? Guys, our life would be hopeless. I think that all of us want our lives to actually count for something. I read this thank you note this morning, partly because I wanted to remind those of you that helped with the widow's banquet that your life counts for something. In the life of Beverly, this matters. But beyond that, beyond just helping someone else have a good evening, we want to make a difference. If Christ is not raised from the dead, then Paul says we're to be pitied, because everything that we're living for is a lie and it doesn't really matter. If Christ isn't risen, then life's kind of hopeless. If Christ isn't risen, I've wasted my life living a lie. I've spent most of my working years so far involved in seeing Christ magnified and His name being shared where it wasn't. So the resurrection does matter, right? But Christ did rise from the dead. So instead of being pitied, you actually should be envied. Because the life you live, it does matter. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, Paul says, for momentary light affliction is producing for us weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Your reward is waiting. Because Christ was raised from the dead, you have hope of rising to a life eternal. And I know we're headed for something good for breakfast. But I know that our breakfast has, I don't want to insult the cooks, but it has nothing to compare to what we'll have in heaven. I heard a story time of a woman who was terminally ill. She was preparing to pass on. She had a conversation with her minister, kind of arranging details for the funeral and what she wanted done with her things. And had one instruction was that she wanted to be buried with a fork in her hand. And she said, "No, that's fine, but why?" She said, when she was at a meal, her favorite words were, "Keep your fork, because dessert's coming." And she was always happy to hear, "Keep your fork," because it meant that what's just ahead is better than what just happened. And she said, "I want to lie there in my coffin with a fork in my hand. And I'd like people to say, 'What's the fork for?' And I want you to tell them the best is yet to come." She's on her way to something much better than what she just wrapped up. And because Easter happened, the best is yet to come. Because Christ rose from the dead, he was both vindicated, his sacrifice validated, your price was paid, the power is yours to experience. It's a day of celebration that completes the story of salvation. It's not just a nice afterthought to the price that was paid. It proves that the price that was paid was sufficient. And that you and I can walk in newness of life because Easter happened. Oh, if you would, I'd like to, I don't need you to stand necessarily. It's early in the morning. I'd like to pause and close your eyes. Don't go to sleep on me. But spend just a bit of time thinking and thanking the Lord for the proof of his power through resurrection. Now I'll close in prayer. So then close your eyes and commune with the Lord. Oh God, our help, our hope, and our salvation. Thank you, Jesus, for the power you showed in rising from the grave. Thank you for the newness of life that it gives us as believers, the truth that it is in what it makes our future to be. Father, I pray that as we go into the week and the year ahead, that you would receive the glory. That we would not be slow to share what you've done in our lives, that we would be quick to remind others of the hope that you offer. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.